Call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Reba, here. Carol.
Here.
Coyote.
Here.
Donald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Boyle.
Here.
Thank you.
First up, we have the minutes of our regular meeting of December 7th.
Move the minutes for December 7th.
Okay, any discussion on anything in the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
We have our correspondence on your desk this evening. You also found another piece of correspondence that was not printed out previously.
Move we file correspondence.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on anything in the correspondence?
No, I'm just going to discuss a few things.
What would you like to start with?
Actually, I met with Rich John yesterday. We spoke for quite a lot. I gave him suggestions on the transition plan, and he did clarify some things for me. I was just hoping it would have been written in a more almost like an outline form, so it almost looked like a plan for each of the sections that they were discussing, like a plan to eliminate or reduce the cost. Anyway, I gave him suggestions to possibly include some other things. So otherwise, it's just repeating what we did to plead our case to begin with.
So you're just talking about you were tweaking some of the language in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or to make it make it seem more for future possibilities for 2011. A lot of what was written was the case for 2010. So, but he explained that a lot of this is all it's theoretical. Anyway, based on what the state gives us and how much aid we're going to get next year, all the numbers can constantly
if there's any to be got.
Right, the numbers can constantly change. And the important piece, I guess, is Natasha's piece, the numbers, and it clearly does show there that we see a reduction in the aid, if we were to get any.
Right.
Should I just go through each thing?
Sure.
No one else had anything to say on transitional aid, or that's it? As far as the correspondence from Christina Wykowski, again, I spoke with Rich on everything, but in her letter for number one, we explained, I guess make it clear, that we already are doing number one. I mean, we get that resolution every meeting. But I would, for number two, where she writes, I would like to, pass a resolution that clearly defines, the process. We are already doing it in accordance with law, but maybe if it's, actually stated and...
You're talking about the minutes of the executive session.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is already being done, but...
Does that need a resolution, or would that just be a policy?
But she's saying, we haven't had an executive session with every meeting, so there really isn't a lot of minutes, and according to our current resolution, as long as it's done within 6 months, which is what we currently are doing. I'm not saying, change the time or anything, but, she feels that the practice has stopped and she can't find any, agendas for 2010, but we actually haven't gotten the minutes ourselves because the 6 months hasn't elapsed. So if the rest of council feels it would be a good idea to pass the resolution to define this process so that everyone knows we are in accordance with the law and we are doing it, and for new council members to know about it and that they can enforce it. I don't, that's just, so how about, I'm going to make a motion that we do have a resolution, but if it's not necessary, I guess I don't know. Leave that to discussion now that the motion's on the floor. How about that?
Well, we have the motion for the,
the
correspondence, so you can make that motion after we go through
okay.
that one.
So that's okay. that one.
Isn't that governed by by statute?
It is, and by case law. I mean, I didn't realize your policy called for the executive session minutes within 6 months.
Well, that's what it says on our resolution to go into executive
yeah.
session.
We should probably say as soon as reasonable, which doesn't give it, yeah, because 6 months is probably a little too long in terms of that. So it would be better to have, and the dilemma that happens with respect to executive session minutes is that some executive session minutes can be turned over in their entirety publicly within a certain period of time. Others may never be available, depending on the subject. And then what happens with the actual preparation of the minutes is, and this is true for every municipality that I represent, and probably just about every municipality in the state, very difficult time-wise for the clerks to be able to get the minutes out as promptly as possible because they have OPRA requests, they have all their normal duties, and OPRA requests, of course, take a priority because they have to be answered within a certain time period or there's punishment of the clerk and so forth. So generally what clerks do is they prioritize their jobs, their tasks, and normally, there isn't really a demand for the executive session minutes for a period of time, except in specific cases. So it's a natural thing to kind of put that back a little bit. The letter from Mr. Paff was accurate in terms of the law and the timing of executive session minutes and when they should be adopted and so forth. So it is one of those things where it's a balancing between the time that the clerk has and the speed by which the executive session minutes can be actually prepared. So that, again, is a policy thing for the governing body in terms of, you know, how much resources you want to actually allocate to the clerk's office in order to deal with getting the minutes out in time versus the costs versus the other projects that the clerk has.
Okay. You had mentioned that 6 months might be too long. But
might be too long or too short. Well, we're talking about the actual preparation of the minutes. Yeah.
But your argument, 6 months might be adequate to get those things in order.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with 6 months?
Well, actually, as Mr. Paff cites in his letter, if municipalities had all of the resources they had and could get the resources they needed, you would ideally want to have the executive session minutes prepared and within a meeting or two.
So why not have them next week?
Well, again, that's a resource issue. You know what I mean? That's something where the clerk has to balance out between her jobs or the clerk's jobs that are priority jobs and getting the executive session.
Would they be different than the regular minutes of a meeting? Like some things you just can't put in there. We have the manager's report where he redacts some things that you can't put in there, so...
Well, don't forget, there's two issues here. Number one is when the minutes are prepared. Now, what happens with executive session minutes is they go to the governing body as an executive session minute, and they're approved as to form, but not made public. Now, executive session minutes are made public when it's appropriate to do so, and that would turn on the reason that you go in for executive session. Once litigation is over, it may be appropriate to turn over the executive session minutes. On the other hand, on a personnel issue, if an employee has some type of health issue that they wanted to discuss with the governing body in connection with the leave of absence or something, you might never bring that out because that's something that it's very private and that's protected by the privacy laws. So the problem with executive session minutes, you've got one, when they're prepared, which is a resource issue. In other words, how much time does the clerk have to get to that job every 2 weeks? Second part of the issue is when they're actually made public. And those are two different, there's two different principles that apply there.
Doesn't the statute say 30 days upon completion of the action taken or action discussed?
Statute says as soon as reasonably possible and that they can be turned over. Words to that effect are probably put out right here.
Well, Ms. Blanchard, you said 30 days on your note there.
Yeah, if you read my letter to Mr. Pass, I did indicate 30 days. So
I had asked Rich, though, do we need to change their resolution to the 30 days?
Right.
So I was aware of that, but he said it probably wasn't necessary. But now, speaking, hearing the attorney, again, I believe it. I'll bring that motion back up then.
What are you looking to do, Council?
Oh, that's an estimated.
Do we need to have a formal policy?
Estimated to be, yeah.
For a time frame,
the policy doesn't
mean
you have to do it.
Public?
It says.
Right, and that would, even the governing body is approving them in a timely fashion.
How are we approving the executive session minutes now?
They would be approved, or they are approved, in the same way that you approve your regular session minutes, except the difference is the regular session minutes are available to the public when they're approved. The executive session minutes are approved as to form. In other words, what the clerk reports has said is accurate, but not disclosed.
We get them with the regular minutes at the meeting.
Yeah. Well, I understand the process. I was just kind of like saying, how are we doing it now?
You mean releasing it to the public?
No, approving the minutes. We're not. Have you seen minutes in writing? Is that what you're saying? In writing?
Executive session minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Are you getting them?
We've approved them in past meetings.
Executive session.
Not recently, no.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they're behind.
So is that 30 days there for approval from council? Is that what we're saying also?
I'm suggesting 30 days.
30 days?
Yes.
So the ones that we're behind with, we're going to get a packet to catch up?
Anything else, Mrs. Weaver?
Can I just say one thing, Scott, on this topic? You have to remember, and I think Dick touched on it, some executive session minutes can't be released in their entirety within
right.
the six-month period, because if it's a legal issue,
right, there will be redacted,
that can drag on for 2 years.
Yeah, there will be redacted forms of it as it becomes available.
Right.
Yeah.
But
there will always be
30
something.
Days of that point.
Right.
And the 6 months, says time is currently estimated to be 6 months or upon the occurrence of, that's the way that reads, and that can be crafted to an individual situation.
I was going to say some other things, but that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on the correspondence?
I'll hold my thoughts for another time.
Okay. Any other discussion on the correspondence?
Go ahead, Bill. I was just going to say, regard to Mr. Pass's letter, I agree that the executive minutes should be posted in a more timely manner. However, again, to what Terry and Dick also alluded to, as long as they're properly approved and redacted as needed, and whatever issues that's being discussed has been resolved, obviously we want to make sure that's being followed. But as far as approving them and seeing them, I agree it should be done more timely. Regarding the other piece of correspondence by Christina Wachowski, recording executive minutes, I'm against the recordings as I do not feel that they can be properly redacted to protect the municipality. It also will prevent creative thinking or discussions that may not be politically expedient but necessary. Also, I feel if we're in executive session discussing personnel, any suggestions or comments made by any council persons could be construed as libel and could put the municipality at risk. And I wanted to ask Dick if that's accurate.
Yes, I think, there's always a balance to be struck, but the problem is if the municipality is sued for any reason as a result of, let's say, a personnel issue. Somebody comes, there's a discussion about an employee, all right, in the executive session. And let's say the employee is terminated and Sue, can you hear me all right, by the way? Okay, if you can. I looked out and thought, oh, my God, I'm going to get in trouble. If the employee sues, and let me tell you, in today's environment, it is very, very common for employees who are terminated, even if they're terminated for reasons of reduction in force, all right, because you can't afford the employee, to sue for various reasons. And the first request being made by the attorney's, by the employee's attorney, is to get copies of the executive session minutes, because they know that people in an executive session, when they're discussing an employee or certain other sensitive topics, are going to have discussions back and forth that are meant to be candid discussions. If a governing body member or some other official of the municipality makes a statement, perhaps in a moment of passionate thought or you know, stressful thought, that is perhaps too strong, and that ends up getting into the hands of a lawyer, that employee and the municipality and the other governing body members are going to get sued for punitive damages. Those are not covered by insurance. They're not payable in many cases by the municipality. It is a distinct risk. I'm not trying to exaggerate this in any way. It's a distinct risk for governing body members. And it's my opinion that executive session minutes should not be recorded. I think if you discuss this with most municipal attorneys, and I have, the general consensus is going to be, don't do it. You're opening trouble. And I can tell you about cases I've had where we've been defending municipalities and civil rights cases where the executive session minutes, even comments that really were not meant to be what they sounded like, when they got transcribed, they sounded bad, or they were characterized as being bad by the other side, which has a self-interest in doing so. So my advice is, don't do it. The second thing is, and I hope this doesn't sound bad, but what a particular governing body member says at a particular point in time is not really the critical factor. The critical factor is what the majority of the council votes on a particular issue. That's the action. So your thinking is important. It may be important on a political political level, but really, when you're measuring what a municipality has done, it's what the majority of the governing body has voted to do that's the critical factor. So executive session minutes are not meant, and when they're prepared, are not meant to be exhaustive recitations of what occurred. They're simply supposed to report the action that occurred. They're not really meant to report everything that every council member said. Now, sometimes that can lead to situations where somebody says, well, he said or she said, and there's disputes. Those are political disputes. Those are not really centering on the wisdom of the decision that's made by the governing body. That's got to be supported by some facts. And normally, you can't have an action in an executive session. You can't vote. I mean, you can have straw votes and so forth, but you can't take any official action. So the official action has to be publicly carried out. And that's the issue that's really that is the subject of the public controversy if there's disagreement with that decision. And again, the public, when there is a public action, has the right to contest that or disagree with it or stand up at a public meeting and say, you know, Mr. Housel, why did you vote in favor of this particular action? Or what were the facts that you were relying on in that regard? And that's the real debate that goes on over the action, not even why somebody voted one way or another, but what's the facts that support a particular action that a governing body takes. So I'm sorry to be windy.
Scott, I just had one more thing on correspondence. In regards to Mr. Bond, professional appointments, we went out for professionals two times because the first time we felt that we cast a wider net to get the best options available for the taxpayers. The second time around, we did receive additional proposals and reviewed them accordingly. Can't comment really on the actions of that. I do not feel it's in the best interest of the taxpayers to go out a third time and expend additional taxpayer funds in the hopes of getting new proposals. Also, the appointments will have to be submitted to the state for approval, is that correct, Rich?
Yes, that's correct.
That's all I have.
Okay.
It's easier to write it down.
Okay, Councilman Higgins, you had something?
Yeah, in regards to this letter right here, was there any correspondence?
What is that letter right there?
Following up on Victor's comments from Mark Mont.
Was there any correspondence from the state in regards to this, back to us, from this letter?
There was a call.
There was?
Yeah.
In reference to?
Oh, sure. I have no objection to the, sorry?
Sure.
The Director of Local Government Services contacted my office Tuesday morning, said that he wanted to speak with myself and the mayor regarding that letter that you see before you. In addition to the letter you see before you, the resident also sent a second letter to the state. So the state contacted me and said, in addition to your letter, this is another letter. I want to talk to you about it.
And that letter was previous to this one,
correct? That's correct. That's correct. Predated that one. He had maybe, the conversation was maybe 15 minutes. He just had a couple generic questions, and that was the end of the conversation.
Well, the reason why I bring this up is I found this out on the street. I don't know if this individual was telling people that that's what happened. Was there any conversation with Mr. Bond after that phone call?
We never spoke with Mr. Bond.
No, I have not spoken with him.
Well, somebody out there knows that either was correspondence or a phone call that was made to the town. Did anybody here know that that was done?
Not I.
That the DCA called the town?
Yeah.
No, I did the first I heard
of it. When did he call the town?
Tuesday.
Last
Tuesday.
This Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So you're saying,
no, Tuesday.
You're,
ago.
You're saying you already
we
knew about
the
that phone
call?
Call
Wednesday, I believe.
The,
yeah,
I was told about
he,
it.
He contacted us last Tuesday.
Today.
We scheduled a meeting for Wednesday. So we actually spoke on Wednesday about it.
Can I ask what they asked?
Sure.
What it was all
sure.
about?
Okay. Any reason for us to keep that?
And I'm just paraphrasing here. His first question was he a current or former elected official? He had questioned the allegations made in the letter.
It was who, a current or an elected official?
The person who sent the letter, the resident who sent the letter. These are the questions from the Director of Local Government Services to us. He asked for examples of a further clarification, if you will, on what the allegations were in there. He asked what the 2009 and 2010 process was for selecting professional appointees. Conversation lasted 15 minutes, if that.
Right. And I believe he asked for the proposals?
He asked for
a copy of...
That's
the
right.
Letter, yeah.
The proposals. That's correct. He asked
for
proposals
for
made for 2010. Correct. Well, they were actually made in 2009.
Yeah.
With last year's round, he asked for those three proposals that we sent.
For last year's, but he didn't ask for this coming year's?
No, he already has this year's. I sent it to him already, weeks ago at his request. As part of the review process that they have to make,
yeah.
He received the copy.
I don't know how far I can go with this.
It's very possible.
You go as far as you want with me, Dave. I don't care.
It's very possible.
Go ahead.
I mean, there's still questions that I have. I don't know if I can continue to address these questions here.
Dave, I waive whatever right to
privacy I
have.
I think I know where you're going, Dave.
Make it
and
public.
We discussed this in executive session, but did you ever think that maybe it was the party that submitted the proposal? Talk to the writer of this letter.
Trust me, but there's a lot of things that were said here that were said in executive session, in a previous executive session. You know, you said that they, you know, some of this stuff is in the minutes.
Right.
The minutes weren't put out yet because they haven't been approved.
So you're basically saying, how does this person find out about the details of what we discussed?
Pretty much so, yeah. And not only that, is how all this information is being circumventing the city council.
Well, what information is that?
Like the information that, you know, this guy called.
This guy being
that was
at the
director's request. Between the his request was to speak with the mayor, myself, and he said, don't say anything until I get back to you. I'll let you know.
So has he gotten back to you yet?
No. I spoke with his office yesterday on an unrelated issue. I asked him if there's any update.
Okay. Well, listen.
I honored his request.
There was a proposal that was about the last...
But I spoke with the, I spoke with the person in the letter. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that.
You were here for executive session last meeting.
But I don't know what was said in executive session, but, well, whatever.
There are still questions that, Dick, I can...
Go ahead, Dick. If they relate to me, I have no problem.
What about if they relate to executive session?
Oh, well, I guess the question, I mean, you have...
There were some things that happened in executive session that have bearing on what the manager is saying right now.
Yeah, in other words, information that was discussed among council members.
Yes.
I mean, nobody can make you not talk.
It's an ethical thing, right? It's ethics, basically.
Well, is your question, Dave, that somebody from the executive session, somebody was in the executive session, allowed information from the meeting?
No,
no. Oh, okay.
There was, you were given information in the executive session before you left.
Right. I left, okay, but just, I'm not... Oh, right, about, the manager will write it down for me to refresh my recollection here. Oh, yes, okay. You're talking about my retainer?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
The amendment.
Right.
Two. Was the amendment sent to Trent?
No, they didn't ask for the amendment.
So we sent the original proposal.
I sent them what they asked me for. You remember, big timeline, 2 weeks ago is when we sent documents to Trenton. 1 week ago is when...
You know where I'm going with this, Dick?
I don't, actually, but...
All right.
Dave, you're not going to bother me if you, you know...
I know, but I don't know how far I can go with what we talked about.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you worried about the last sentence of the first paragraph?
He got that from my response back to him because of the timeline that we were given from the manager.
No, I'm not.
Because we discussed that part in open session.
I know, I understand. That's not what I'm talking about.
He got that part from me because I that was an assumption on my part. I believe me, some of the things I responded back to him are in this letter. So I wasn't too happy either.
All right.
But that was because of the schedule. That after December 1st, that's why you all voted at the last meeting, because we had to get it back to the...
I don't see what the big deal in here is. There's nothing really that we didn't discuss in open session.
My only concern about his letter is that I think he got inside information based on what was said in executive, so that's what bothers me the most.
I agree with that.
The end result, I mean, as far as whatever the retainer or whatever the conversation between the manager and the mayor and the director of DCA, that to me is just follow-up from the director's perspective. I don't have a problem with that either, so...
What?
He's saying that he knew about it.
I heard
it
from somebody on the street.
From
somebody on the street.
Somebody from the division or whatever.
Either that or this individual knew that he got phone call.
Isn't it possible that the director's office could have gotten back to the resident who wrote the letter and said that I spoke with so-and-so and the mayor? So that's probably more likely the scenario than anything else.
Or he could have actually called himself to see it.
He probably did. I mean, he probably called their office or they called him just to follow up.
This is like, I reckon this when we were sued and we didn't know about it until we had to pay the fees. This is something that I think that is, you know, you sent something in, you got a phone call back. This is something I think that the council needs to be informed of. And now, so you worked on your amendment? Your amended proposal.
Yes, you.
Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I sent that out.
He sent it out.
I sent you guys a copy.
All right, well, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's not the one that went down, though.
No, the one that went down was the original.
Okay, so when is this guy supposed to get back to you?
Allegedly this week.
Okay.
I spoke with his office yesterday, and he said he was going to get back on you.
And what's he going to get back to you about?
Whether or not he approves the request or not. If he approves the request, we can prepare the reorg agenda.
What about the other ones?
Mm-hmm. Same thing. Same for all the professionals.
I just think that the council needs to be informed of something like that.
Personally, I never thought of it.
Okay, anything else on the correspondence? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mrs. Lieber, did you want to make your motion now?
Okay, well, I'd like to make the motion, but I'm not sure I'm making the motion for. Do we need some kind of resolution so that we have this, like, set in stone, this policy that, you know, will be based on, you know, 15 recommendations every 30 days? Do we need to change the current executive session resolution?
Well, I think that's, I think what I would do, if I were you, I have a discussion with the clerk, just to make sure that the clerk feels comfortable with whatever dates and times that you require, because that's really the critical issue.
Right.
It's a question of allocating workload, and Christine is in the best position to address that issue in terms of how that works.
And I think there's already a process in place, but maybe if it, you know, we do need to enforce it then in within the time frame. Then
I'm comfortable with 30 days.
Is that a problem? You can ask for an extension, right?
That's correct.
Is that in the ordinance?
There are times when regular minutes don't get done for 30 days.
Right.
So if things happen, we've had busy year, we've had petitions and several elections, but 30 days I'm comfortable with. Yes.
Should we change the executive session resolution that we pass every meeting? You know, if we have to go into that's based on that 6 months.
Janine, again, this is a policy question. The only difficulty that I see for you to do that is that if the clerk doesn't get it out to you in 30 days,
right,
maybe for good reason, maybe she forgot to ask you for an extension, all of a sudden, you know, she's in violation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like of a policy, whether you want to say, I mean, what I would say is the clerk will make her best efforts.
Is there already an existing policy? How about that? Because I'm relatively new to all this stuff. So is there already an existing policy?
I don't think there is on that issue.
Does this need to be a policy?
Well, I think it's a timeline issue, right? I think the policy, the way it's laid out in the ordinance.
Councilman Boyle did not recall that, you know, that we've been doing this.
You mean policy as far as a formal process?
The governing body approving executive minutes and...
You know. Yeah, that's true. I don't recall off the top of my head. I mean, if there's a policy that we could articulate maybe better, for you know, that's fine. I don't have any issue with any of this.
Couldn't it just be added to the agenda? Approval of executive session minutes, and if there's no minutes to approve, they don't get approved.
And if she asks for an extension,
that's the easy way.
Yeah, I like that.
Just where it says approval of minutes of... Approval of executive session minutes.
If there's any executive minutes.
Yeah, or and then at that time, I think that's a very good suggestion.
And then keep the
that's a great idea. Yeah, I think that's a good administrative way.
Keep the current executive session resolution the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Current for date.
Scott, I'm piggybacking off of what Jean said. You know, if I can make a motion, does that motion go away basically?
Yes. No one seconded it.
Okay.
Well, actually, you need a motion to amend the form of the agenda, right?
Do we? Or?
Well,
then
well,
the manager.
If all we're going to do is put on the agenda executive session minutes for
it's
approval.
The regular session minutes. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see a need to go any farther than that.
Okay.
I wanted to follow that up and make a motion to not record executive session minutes for the reasons I stated above.
I'll second that.
Do we really need to go through a motion for that since we don't do it as it stands?
Well, I just feel like it should be some sort of memorialization.
At least that way it addresses the resident's letter.
That and the fact that if, you know, somebody wants to go back and
okay,
look it up, they could say that a motion was passed for these reasons or whatever.
Okay. We have a motion, we have a second. Is there any other discussion on this? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Me.
Any abstentions? Okay. Take care of that. Anything else before we move on with having to do with correspondence? At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Mrs. Pyle, I saw you first.
After all was said the last...
Would you please state your name and address for the record, please?
Joyce Pyle, 88 West Stewart Street.
Thank you.
I am very uncomfortable with having nobody being presented to run as our attorney. I mean, how can we just, in this town, one person came and he couldn't be, he had to take back his name. And I would like to have you reschedule and get further names on an attorney. I think it's only fair to all of us. That's my opinion.
Okay. Thank you. Mrs. Stetler.
Edna Detlis, Fisher Avenue. I don't know, it was last week or how many days ago, there was an article in the paper about the $100,000 grant that was given to the Borough of Washington for the acquisition of the property. The Pocket Park. And in that, they also had written that it was going to be turned over to the Borough for a dollar from the bid to the Borough.
As part of the parking lot also. It would all be in one lump group. Of
well, they didn't say anything about the parking lot. That's not my question.
Okay.
My question was the fact that they also stated that there was going to, the Borough was going to take over $490,000 worth of loan. That's $500,000.
Right.
Are we going to do that?
Yes.
How can we do that?
That was the agreement that we have with the bid when they did all the work on the parking lot.
So what's the $500,000 for? Not for the park itself, for the parking lot?
Correct.
So what does that have to do then with the 2% cap? What effect on that?
Turn that one over to you.
Excuse me. The money associated with this was received from a contribution many years ago. The borough's portion of the amount that we have to pay off on this parking lot in, by now it's about 4 years, is already allocated. So there's no more borrowing of any money to pay off our portion of this in 4 years.
So because of it, the taxes aren't going to go up because of that?
No. We have the money. It's down, like we, the money is there to pay for our portion of this already. It was made from a contribution from a developer many years ago. We allocated that money to pay for the borough's portion in 5 years.
The $500,000.
The $500,000 was the total project cost. We're not responsible for $500,000. We're responsible for the remaining balance of the loan. The business improvement district,
roughly.
Actually, I think it could be closer to $320,000 if it projected all the way out for 5 years. We have all of that money already to pay for this through this contribution.
When
we take possession in 5 years. So there's no increases.
This park, is it really worthwhile?
You're asking an opinion. In my opinion, yes.
For what purpose? An opinion.
Okay. I've seen little pocket parks like this in other communities, and it's a great place for people to gather for small things. I've seen many people gather to play chess in things like this, or checkers, or something of that nature. Sometimes it's just a place for people to sit down and have a cup of coffee, a place to rest as you're going around through the shopping. Part of the plan for this is to have a little, I don't really want to call it a stage, but a little area where there could be performances, small performances that would attract people, things of that nature. It's just one more thing to bring people into town. And
also,
have when they're here to give them an amenity.
Also, there's going to be if the park is developed to the plan, it would have seven additional parking spaces, which isn't a lot, but it's seven additional spaces in the middle of downtown.
That's correct.
And it completes the whole project, because if it wasn't going to be there, you'd have the rocks and cement stuff and garbage and dog stuff.
I thought it would be a good idea to put a bocce court up there, but...
Hey, you're talking my language.
Yeah.
Actually, you're talking my language.
Wow.
Yeah, okay,
gone. You're all both amateurs.
All right, thank you.
Okay, anyone else?
I hear that.
Old bocce.
None, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved. Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next up, we have ordinance 15-2010.
I'll move ordinance 15-2010 for adoption.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. This is being passed now, but it doesn't take effect until next year. Can we do that? This is final reading. Can we do that? Pass it now and not take effect until next year?
Yeah, we have to.
We'd have to do an emergency resolution.
Yeah. Well, then that's fine. That's fine. The state said as long as we adopt the ordinance before the end of the year, it's efficient. We are adopting it. The statute dictates 20 days.
I understand that, but Dick, we've had this discussion before, right?
You can pass an ordinance that has prospective effect earlier. You can't split it over the court. You can't introduce in one year and then adopt in the other.
Just a question.
If you have a question, we could always take a vote and make it an emergency and pass it within, is it 7 days?
5 days.
5 days?
No, immediately.
This is adoption.
Yeah,
if you choose to do that, that's fine. The state wants this adopted in 2010, which we will meet that requirement.
Probably would be a better idea to do that. I think to have the emergency declaration.
Okay.
I got to get it by the end of the year. You might as well have it in place.
That's fine.
And not have any questions as to whether it was completely adopted or not. So I think that's worth doing.
Where are we? We need a roll call on this right now.
Yes.
Okay. Roll call, please, on this.
Hazel?
Oh, wait a minute. You need a public hearing.
That's right.
Well, it's introduced.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is introduced.
Yeah.
After she reads by title.
This is the doc.
No, this is the doc.
The Terrence versus
Interdiction
is for the adoption.
This is the public hearing adoption.
Then we do the public hearing.
Okay. Sorry.
Calvin?
Yes.
Theon?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Hagan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Ordinance 15-2010, and restriction reward of contract exempt from public bidding. Yeah. Contractor pay to play reform ordinance.
Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the public hearing on Ordinance 15-2010.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The next motion to approve it.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? The roll call, please.
Alvin?
Yes.
Theon?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva? Yes.
And now we would need the motion to declare an emergency and make it effective immediately, correct?
Correct.
So moved.
That's a resolution.
Resolution 225-2010, would that be proper? 224 is the last one?
226.
226. I'll move resolution 226-2010 to make this effective in 5 days.
No, immediately.
Second.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Okay.
Immediately upon publication.
Upon publication. Okay. All right. Any discussion on that resolution?
What do you say?
Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Give yourself a start.
Okay. That takes us to our reports.
Yeah.
Move the reports.
Is there any discussion on any of the reports?
I just have one comment on the manager's report. I wanted to say thank you to the borough manager and the CFO, Natasha, for their work on the best practices checklist. As a result of their efforts, we will not see a reduction in our 2010 state aid because we met or exceeded all of the state mandates. So thank you very much.
Anything else on the reports?
DPW Garage, we have the TCO. The manager has been working to get the oil water separator put in. And the guys have moved a lot of their equipment up there, almost all of it. And they're working on a pad to put in front of the salt shed.
They finished it already.
Okay. So they can dump the salt outside because the trucks, when they come in, can't dump in the dome area. So they have to dump it outside and move it in. Which is a typical thing.
Is there any plans for an open house, like a formal open house for the DPW garage?
An open garage?
No, not as it stands right now. Okay.
If you do, keep me informed.
Okay. Do you want to do one?
Are we doing committee reports now, Scott?
We will in a moment.
No.
Kind of jump ahead.
Would you like to crack a bottle of champagne over here?
Well, I don't know what the,
I'm just joking with you.
Yeah, I know. The atmosphere of the garage is, we have it. It's really a nice opportunity there for people to see it all in one shot.
Maybe we
that
could
would be a mayoral.
Maybe we could do something in the spring as the landscaping takes hold.
We'll bring her back up. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the reports?
Grant committee?
No, not yet.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Councilwoman Gleba.
The grant committee, we did apply to the American River Organization for a grant for the Pleasant Valley Mill Dam. So.
We applied to the American Rivers Organization for a grant to cover the expense of decommissioning the Pleasant Valley Mill Dam. So hopefully we will receive those funds so that we can complete that project.
And when do we anticipate knowing?
I have no idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Typical answer.
Anything else, Mrs. Lieber?
Rich will talk about the energy grant.
Okay.
We, excuse me, earlier this year we submitted an application to the Board of Public Utilities for an energy grant. The goal was to perform an energy assessment of a municipal property and provide you funding to make some sort of energy efficient improvements to it. We received the funding in the amount of $20,000, and the BPU matches that $20,000 with $30,000. So potentially we can have a $50,000 energy improvement at no cost. I'm meeting with them tomorrow at 2, actually, to come and look at the municipal building, look at the sewer plant to see where we can get the most bang for our buck, and he'll come up with some proposals for council to decide which path to follow.
So that has gone through, we got the grant?
Yes.
We have to look at the library also?
I know the library did a bunch of energy upgrades not too long ago, but we're planning on looking at all three, you know, the library, municipal building, and the sewer, the big one.
Okay.
Rich, does this fall into, does it have to be an existing structure, or could it be something else?
It has to be a municipally owned and occupied structure for government business.
Would relamping the parking lot lights and the acorn lights downtown be considered borough?
I can ask. You mean like a retrofit of the bulbs?
Yeah, with the LED lighting.
I can ask them tomorrow.
That would be great if it was, because it is, again, becoming more energy efficient, right?
Right. I mean, theoretically, it's a win-win for that, and it's a very expensive upfront cost to relamp them with LED lighting, but it's only about 10% of the actual energy expended.
I will ask tomorrow.
That also may come in with the sustainable jersey.
Yeah.
Could be part of
very
that.
Much so, yeah.
And there also may be grants available through the byway.
Which I sent that out to everybody. I went online and looked at what grants are available, and I sent it out to the grants committee.
Okay. Councilman Cioni, you have something for the committee reports.
I do.
I do ask about it, so I thought you did.
No, I actually have two committee report updates. The website committee, just so everybody understands, you can register online for updates through the website. So as of now, we have 516 registrants for the website update. 2 years ago, we had 126 registrants. So in 2 years, we've increased by over 400% the amount of people that go to the website and get email updates. So I think that's something to be proud of. The other little update I just wanted to give on the park committee, again, everybody understands and has read the article that the county is Open Space is given the $100,000 grant for the Pocket Park purchase. And I wanted a special thank you to Sandy Cerami, bid director, as well as the rest of the bid for their persistence in going after that grant money. I think it's very commendable, and it should definitely be noted. That's all.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Okay, hearing none, we have no old business, we have new business, which takes us back to Councilman Cioni.
Don't worry.
Boy, your last day.
Yeah, you know what? You'll be rid of me soon enough, so don't worry about it. Viridian Energy, and I use
I use Veridian as an example. It's not the only one out there, but what these companies do are they're energy wholesalers, and they sell you energy through the existing company that provides the energy, in this case, JCP&L. So what I'm proposing is, and Rich, you could jump in here anytime. What I'm proposing here is that the borough look into options of this energy wholesaler or wholesalers, whatever is available, through either a bid process or an RFP process, so that we can see what the best proposal is to possibly save the borough the most amount of money. I took a little bit of a blurb off of their website just to give you an idea. This company is currently the largest third-party supplier in the state of New Jersey. They are a 100% green company that is currently supplying customers in Connecticut, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and Maryland. Common misperception with this is that many believe that we are switching from their current electrical company. Veridian is a supplier that works with your current electric company to provide a greener environment, while residential and commercial customers benefit by having lower monthly payments as a result of using green reusable energy. And I wanted to ask Attorney Cushing for his opinion on these types of suppliers or if he's had any dealings with them and if we should solicit bids for additional tax savings.
Yes. apparently it's very, I haven't done it in my own home, but everybody says it's worthwhile both in your home and in municipalities. You could apparently save some fairly significant amounts of money. There's one complication though. This requires a bid.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it except through the bidding process. I've actually had discussions with representatives of a couple of these companies, and I've said to them, well, why don't you draft up for us some form bids? We'll submit it to a couple of other suppliers, you know, to make sure that they're fair and reasonable for everybody, that they're objective. But they haven't done it yet. They sort of take the position, well, we're likely, see, we don't have to bid our electric right now because our electric is BPU regulated. JCP&L rates are regulated because of a tariff that they get approved by the BPU. And the statute with respect to bidding in a situation like that basically says if you're BPU regulated, then you don't have to, then a municipality doesn't have to bid because there's already a public process for establishing and making sure the rates are reasonable, or at least maybe not reasonable, but anyway, approved by government. So the problem is these companies are not BPU regulated. They're BPU licensed because they get some kind of approval from the BPU, but they don't come within the exception to the bid law, so it means you have to bid it. It's a little bit complicated to bid it. The bid specifications are complicated to draw up, and that's the one drawback.
Why couldn't we just give them, like, say, the last 6 months' electrical bills, put that in the bid spec, and have them basically give us what their rates over the last 6 months would have been based on the usage?
That doesn't tell you what the rates are going to be.
Well, no, it never will either. Yeah. Though I mean, you could argue that about the way we're paying now.
Right, I agree with you. The problem is what you want to do is have a set of bid specifications that are objective for any number of bidders who might be out there, so that somebody doesn't say, well, this bid favors somebody else and it isn't clear. So there may be bid specifications out there for this that we could locate as kind of a model, and that, you know, might be something we could reach out to the league for to see if they have them. But it could be a little bit difficult to write the specifications.
Well, could we at least make the motion to
explore
it?
Sure. I think it's very worthwhile to explore it. I really do.
I'd like to say something else. I'd like to see a little bit more exploration done about this, too, because about a year ago I went on the Veridian website, and while there is a savings, they have, if I remember correctly, and I don't know if this has changed, they had three tiers of savings. And while they are a green energy company, they also supply regular energy from the regular companies, and the most saving comes from if you just use regular fossil-based energies. But as you go towards the green end of the spectrum, the saving for the people or the municipality that uses them gets less. So I'm really wondering if there really is a worthwhile trade-off if you get them in there. use them and how much do we actually save as to what we're using now? You know, I think we need to do some research on that because...
Yeah, I think a lot of this really needs to be dealt with next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this power supply industry is really kind of new, you know, it's how everything's going. We have no idea how it's going to unfold or what our specs might be in order to go out to bid for it.
Well, I'm looking at it from a budgetary perspective, too.
Right.
I mean, if it saves us a couple $100 or $1,000...
But will it? How long will it save it for? The rates are not guaranteed, typically.
Right, but neither is JCP&L's rate.
Right. Either. But at least those, you know it's coming. BPU.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's my worth, it's worth exploring, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say it's not, but I don't, the idea may not have come right now.
That's fine.
I think in the exploration, we also have to check to see if that's going to affect our energy receipts for our budget. You know, the energy receipts, we got $498,000 last year in energy receipts. I think it's a good idea that we go to this for the savings, but is it going to affect that?
Well, I guess that's part of the, you know, the
don't save $10,000 in costs and get $50,000 less revenue.
Right.
May I make a suggestion? A couple of other towns that I've been in, that I'm the attorney in, they had representatives from Viridian and a couple of other suppliers come in and make presentations. They take your bills, they analyze your bills, and they make projections. So it might be worthwhile to bring in and have presentations for you from the different suppliers. They might be able to answer a lot of your questions and any questions that members of the public might have.
Well, one of the things, too, that I got down at the League was some company that does that, which I gave to Mr. Phelan, the Jelen Hill, I believe it is. They might be looking into that. You know, perhaps we can get in touch with them and see what they have.
I just wanted to let you know that the Viridian website does have a commercial rate calculator. All you need is your energy bill. And to answer your other question, there is two levels. There's 100% green energy, which offers you less of a savings dollar bottom line. But in the case of, like, say, a commercial account, like something like BASF, the tax credit that offsets it overcomes that. So it ends up with a big savings in the end. The most small residential customers, what they find is a modest savings, probably under 10%, and it's on the usage only. JCP&L is still the provider, so the usage only, and that is just the 20% free. And then when you look at it also, so if we're in associate, you show you this, there's a full commercial rate calculator. It also shows what you would save on your last month's bill. You are all correct. There is no guarantee. They can't tell you what your future rate will be. They don't guarantee anything. But you know that Viridian does not have any contract to sign. You can waive out or opt out at any time. So there is that information. If it is an associate for Viridian, the modest, we don't make a lot off of it. We just chose to do it so that if there was any opportunity for us to have savings that we could and we could pass it on, it's like, I mean, honestly, it's modest. Anybody who signed up would get $2. We don't think it's, what we were trying to do was for all of our big membership to make sure that we saw that there was a lot of companies coming out and offering different energy providers, and we liked the fact that this didn't have a contract and that you were also providing things to the environment. When you do that commercial rate calculator, it'll tell you this is the equivalent of planting, and you couldn't even believe, like, so many trees and not driving 5,000 miles. So it will all show that for you.
And with the energy grants that we're looking at getting, you know, that if that reduces our energy consumption, that will reduce all of the other numbers that come around with it, too. So I think that's something that we should take on, you know, really next year.
Okay. But does anybody have a problem with preliminary research being done by the manager or the attorney?
Not at all.
No.
Okay. That brings us up to resolutions. We have two tax sale certificates, 215 and 216, 2010. How about if we get those out of the way?
I'll move resolution 215 and 216, 2010.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on those? Let's have a roll call on that one, please.
Hubble?
Yes.
Fioni?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes. Resolutions 217, 2010, authorizing the wastewater engineer to move forward with geographic information system mapping of the borough's sanitary sewer, storm sewer collection system.
I'll move that resolution.
Second.
Okay. Okay, is there any discussion on this one? Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Richard, is this a need or is this a want?
It depends on...
Your point of view?
It depends on how important you think correcting INI is.
Correcting what?
Inflow and infiltration into the sewer system.
Thank you.
The more INI that goes into system, the higher the cost to operate the sewer plant is and the higher cost to run the sewer plant is.
Again, is this a need or a want?
This is a want.
Okay, thank you.
This is an overlay of the tax maps.
I'm sorry?
This is for an overlay of the tax.
No, it's not for an overlay. The tax map, in the geographic information system, you can maintain any inventory of any asset in the municipality. And what it does is, if we need to find out where our catch basins are, our fire hydrants are, our stop signs are, you overlay that over the tax map and you can see all that. What this does is it'll allow us to lay the sanitary sewer and wastewater, and storm sewer lines over a topographical map to see where our problem areas are for INI.
Also, in case of a major flood or something, not that I don't think we're going to have it here, but with GPS, you can actually tell exactly where the manholes are and where different structures are in underground.
Okay, is there any other discussion?
Yeah, I just have a question. Can he use any of the information provided by past sewer engineers, Killam, and the as-builts from...
whoever it was.
We actually received all of those old files. He's converted them all as part of his responsibilities this year into digital format. So those digital formats are lined up now with our tax maps. So he's actually in the process of doing that.
And the as-builts?
Not all the as-builts yet. We're working on the tax maps side first. So once everything goes off of the tax map. If the tax map is wrong, everything else is wrong. He's finishing up with the tax map in tandem. He's creating digital copies of all the other documents that we have so we can overlay them over the tax map.
We did a lot of INI remediation, but we still have some problems at the sewer plant, and we need to get it out. It's going to cut down our costs significantly.
I was just curious, and why wouldn't that be covered by the guys that run our sewer plant? I mean, wouldn't they have that technology?
They're hired to operate and maintain the sewer plant.
But if we're having problems, they're not maintaining. I don't know what the problems might be.
They maintain the sewer plant, not the sewer lines.
I mean, if there's, this is the first step in expanding the digital footprint that we have to combat the INI problems that we have.
Okay. Anything else?
Only that we have a sewer committee, and it would have been appropriate to go through the committee just for a heads up so we can look at it instead of getting it in a packet and then voting on it today. I mean, why have a committee if we're not going to use them?
I agree.
Thank you.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Hoggle?
Yes.
Bonfire?
Yes.
Leba?
No.
Ciani?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
Higgins?
No.
That takes us to Resolution 202-2010.
So moved.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on this?
I was wondering if the mayor or president...
If the mayor or Councilman Valentine could just clarify more. I'm just a little leery as to what any new responsibilities council will have. From the third paragraph up from the bottom, as elected representatives, like what leadership or what role, what exactly do we have to do?
Essentially, that's PR, public relations, in trying to get people to make their homes as energy efficient as possible. One of the things that comes from Sustainable New Jersey is it allows residents to get energy audits of their home. Be like taking the picture with the infrared camera to see where heat is leaking out.
there are other things that escape me that, you know, that can be done like that. And that's really where the leadership is being a cheerleader and doing the public relations and letting everybody know that that's available to them.
And what exactly are the benefits of being certified in this?
Well, it also makes you eligible for other programs, environmental programs in the state. One of the things that they actually will come into the community to do is actually help the community, like, expand or develop your recycling, which I think we really could use here. You know, it also will come in and can, you know, help us here with our energy audits, make sure our buildings are a lot more energy efficient. They're very big on helping communities develop more of an environmental and sustainable businesses in their areas. So it's a large umbrella program. There's a lot of benefits to it. And the other thing, too, is you can opt out of it at any time. Passing the resolution does not commit us to, you know, be indentured to sustainable Jersey.
Are there any costs associated
No.
with getting the whoever we're going to authorize in that blank there to
No.
become certified, or
No.
any cost down the road to the borough?
No.
They just give us all the stuff for free.
Yeah, the only potential costs would be if they recommend that we insulate our walls, let's
and
say.
We don't have to, we would just be
right.
their recommendation.
Right, you know, there may be grants that would be available to subsidize some of that, but we may get some of it. I believe also as you reach certain levels of certification, there is a minimal dollar amount that can come to the community, to the borough. Yeah, we're just talking a couple hundred dollars kind of thing.
I was actually talking to one of the people in Mount Laurel they actually have become certified, and she says, you know, the best thing that's ever done is actually cut down on their expenses for fuel and energy. The other thing that I know is that Oxford, Mansfield, and the township are also working to get certified. And I had reached out to, I think it's Bauer over in, Pat Bauer over in the township. We were talking to him and seeing, it might be an idea if, you know, seeing we're going along for certification at the same time to maybe even create a larger committee so we could actually work with the township, again, to, you know, develop, you know, more of an environmental presence and, again, redevelop our recycling programs and stuff like that.
And one, yeah. Okay, one just one last question. The who, and in the blank, that will be the manager's name. It says we are hereby authorizing blank to serve as the agent. Who are we authorizing right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that would probably be the best. He's the one who's here every day.
Councilman, is Sustainable New Jersey Municipal Certification Program a state program? Who does the certification? A state agency?
I don't know if it's a state agency or not. I'm not sure about
if that. It's a private company that we hire?
Well, I know it comes through the grant money, you know, the grant that we're getting. You know, and who are we using to do the audits with the grant?
What grant?
Well, with the energy efficiency grant that we were talking about
right.
a little earlier.
Who are we using? That's a state-approved vendor that
right.
handles Warren County.
Okay. So that's what it would be. It would be a state-approved vendor.
Thank you.
Sustainable Jersey does have a website, sustainablejersey.com, I believe it is. Or
yeah,
is it
there's also a phone number there, a woman by the name of Medea, who's, if you have any further questions. And if anybody wants, I can also give you the name and the phone number of the person over in Mount Laurel that's been working with them.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, Resolution 218-2010, memorializing establishment of recreation fees.
Move Resolution 218-2010.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
I have some discussion. What I handed out to everybody on council and council-elect, Mr. Torres, I can give you a copy as well. The park director, Manager Phelan, met with the rec committee
regarding fees, proposed fees for Washington Borough sports programs as well as the pool for 2011. There was agreement that those fees, that our fees are currently low and they should be raised. So the fee schedule was shared with the committee and was brought to us in a resolution. I felt that those fees were high. And based on the fact that we are trying to run this as a business, I felt it was important to be competitive in that business. So what you have in front of you is the fees for the events, the sporting events for 2010, as well as the pool rates. The proposal for 2011, plus what's in yellow, would be my proposal, and then the column to that right would be the adjusted increase from 2010. So as you can see, all of the rates, well, most of the rates are slightly increased, and in some cases they are decreased. So what I'm asking for is to give us a best shot at being competitive and make a motion to amend this resolution to affect the proposal in yellow. Reason being, especially around the pool, we need to be competitive with Belvedere, Hackettstown, those contiguous areas that have a pool, and their non-resident fees versus our resident fees, because people I've spoken to in the town that have families that go to Hackettstown because they think the pool is nicer and the pool is cheaper. So I think because we're trying to get our numbers back to hopefully get us semi-profitable, I think we need to attract people and not necessarily push them away. And I think the proposed increases were too high, and I'm trying to sort of find a middle ground.
I concur. there's nothing needs to be said. Actually, that's reasonable increases. My question is, Rich, you say in your letter here that it was presented to the advisory committee, it was discussed, and they said that they needed to raise the rates. Did they concur with your numbers?
No.
Okay.
So do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Well, we have a motion and a second, and you asked for an amendment to it.
Amendment to the proposed resolution, fee schedule, basically.
His motion was to approve as recommended.
Well, we'd have the other motion and a second before we go there. Who made the motion and the second?
Pablo Cioni.
Okay, would you want to amend your original motion and second to go with Mr. Cioni's numbers in the resolution?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, you would be okay with that, Mr. Cioni?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other discussion?
I do think that the fees need to be increased. I almost think they should be increased a little bit more than Mr. Cioni's. I mean, just to give you an example, my son, 14 years ago, when he started taking swimming lessons, it was the same rate it still is today.
Okay.
And the rates have not gone up, and it is. And when I talk to people that live in other communities and out of state, what they pay for their pool is so much more than what we offer. So I'm a little on the fence. I agree the original was too high, but I think yours was a little too low.
I did raise the swim lessons $10 for resident and non-residents. And again, you know,
not, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know, the research I did, and some of which I wasn't able to get, obviously, but, like, I know the Oxford Lake, they have swim lessons, and they're actually cheaper than what we would propose, even last year's rate.
But they don't have to treat the water.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have higher overhead, no doubt about it.
Right.
But, again, when you're comparing, you know, what other, you know, our competition is charging,
yeah.
I think it's in line and semi-fair. And, again, the idea is to get people to come back to the pool and new people to come to the pool.
Mr. Boyle, you had something?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Aside from this, I'm just curious as to how the acting director will address the men's baseball netting. You had mentioned prior to that if it's not taken care of, we have to put it up and take it down, you're going to forward those charges. Would that not have to be stipulated somewhere, so we have in writing?
There's special usage fees. It could fall under that.
Miscellaneous, yeah.
So that would fall under miscellaneous?
Correct.
What we got? So this will be, whatever the cost is, you're just going to forward it?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Well, speaking of, I know that we have an ordinance that caps out the top on this, but is there a, for like this, Victor, you have three kids, you know, playing street hockey?
Like a family?
Yeah.
No, not to exceed family?
Not to exceed.
Yeah, that's in the original. I didn't amend that, because I thought those were fine.
Okay.
So like, to people in the audience, what they're saying is like, let's say, my kid's on street hockey, and it's $55, let's just say. But I have three kids that want to play street hockey. So there would be, instead of 55 times three, there would be a not to exceed like $130 or something like that amount, so it's capped. So that's what Dave is referring to. Sorry, I didn't go into that much detail.
Just to make sure that that's still there. And can we do anything about these miscellaneous fees for, because of the same for the borough residents and non-residents?
I don't have that in mind.
The late fees are...
Not the late fees. The late fees are the late fees. That's $15. I don't have a problem with the late fees. What I'm talking about there is the usage fees, the field usage fees, $60 a day for both. And for more days, four more days per season, $225, it's the same. There can't be a...
I mean, they can be increased. I don't recall what the top end was off the top of my head. I mean, are you saying they're too low or they're too high?
Well, I should say, what I'm trying to say is there should be a difference between borough residents and out-of-borough residents.
That's a council decision. I mean...
And how's this going to work with the daily fee? Like, all right, so, or the four more days. Like, so the girls' softball is going to have to pay $225 to the borough?
That would be for non-rec sponsored activities, correct?
No, yeah. It says field usage. Participant cost. So, in addition that means that you're paying the registration fee, plus you have to collect another $225.
I mean, I can tighten up the language, but the answer is it only applies to outside organizations using our fields. not borough sponsored recreation programs.
Borough sponsored recreation programs. So like when the Redskins practice up there, if they're going to practice up there under the lights, they're going to pay $55 a night for the lights.
Correct.
Would they pay $55 plus the daily fee of $60?
They would have to, according to this.
Correct. Yes, it would, yeah. The lighting is an additional cost.
Right. That's probably in standard with other towns.
I mean, there's a cost to run.
No, just the daily fees for the field.
Yeah, no, they do.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
You didn't get that answer, though, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, the answer is yes, that you have to pay both.
No, borough, non-borough.
No, if you want to change, these are my recommendations. You're welcome to change them. Council has the final say on this.
Okay, hold on. I'm getting a little confused here. The rates there are for non-borough organizations that want to use the field?
No, what Dave is... Please,
what?
Let me try to explain this. What he's saying is the daily fee for field usage for an outside organization right now is
$60.
It doesn't matter if they're a borough, outside the borough resource, or somebody from Mansfield who has a baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
What Dave is suggesting is the daily fee for residents, like say I want to organize a Thanksgiving Day football game and I want to play it on the Borough Park field, I'll pay the $60 fee.
Right.
But somebody from Mansfield that wants to organize the same event is going to pay $80 because they're outside of the town. They're not a resident.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Right. Okay.
I personally don't disagree with that. I think there should be some sort of variation. I don't know how many times Ann has scheduled an outside person or group, so I don't know how applicable it would be in the general scheme of things, but I have no issue with that.
all right, let's say the men's baseball league, they play games under the lights. They have to pay the $225 because that's a one-time deal. And are they still going to have to pay the $55 per night that they play for the lights?
Correct.
Wow.
Again, this is something that you can change now.
Well, you got to pay for the lights.
I mean, there's a cost to the lights.
So either we reduce the cost of the fees, because those lights are expensive. I mean, let's be honest.
They cost $55 to run for 3 hours?
I got to spend time to make sure the right people have the key, and I get the right key back.
But those lights are set. You can set those lights on a timer through your computer.
News to me.
Well,
I mean, right now they're manually turned on and off.
I think we're getting bogged down in a little bit of semantics.
I mean, if you feel 55 is too high, by all means, this is the time to adjust it.
Well, first of all, how much does it cost to run those lights for a 3 hour period?
We don't know.
I mean, there's not a separate meter on the lights. What I'd like to do next year, if it's financially viable, is to put a separate meter on it. So then this way I can keep track of exactly the cost. Because right now it just gets tied into the bill that we receive for electric use at the park.
Okay.
It's not a separate meter.
Well, maybe the fees out of borough and then lower the fees for in the borough.
Maybe we could do a $40 borough fee, $60 out of borough fee.
I would go 30 and 60.
Well, whatever. I'm okay with that. I don't know how much of an impact that would be.
So that's for the daily fee you're on?
The daily fee.
Do you know how many people actually used those facilities last year that paid those fees?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Okay. So late fee, why don't we go under miscellaneous? We have 15 per participant in the borough. Do you want to do 20 outside?
If I may, 50, I just happen to know off the top of my head, 15 is the highest, is the cap. So 15 is the highest. You can drop the borough side if you want, but it can't exceed 15 because then it exceeds what the min-max is in the ordinance.
That's fair.
So you want to change that to 10 for late fees? For a resident?
I'm comfortable with the 15.
And leave it if you're comfortable with 15?
Personally. Mr. Higgins, you said you were comfortable with that also?
I'm comfortable with that, but that's all one time. Like, for one, if you're registering three kids, it's a one-time fee, $15.
Right.
Should we get the input of the incoming council members?
Sure.
I could agree with that. As long as the resident fee is lower than the non-resident, I'm in full agreement with that. I think it's fair. I think it's
Mr. Torres, you had something you wanted to add? I saw you come up
yeah,
and speak with Mr. Leland.
I definitely concur with that 100%. I think that the resident fee should be a lot more lower than the non-resident fee. All the way, top to bottom, I think the whole list, if you read them, if I was on the council right now, I'd propose to delay the motion until we got into further discussion of it.
Is there any reason that we need to do it tonight?
We're starting sign-ups for 2011 events.
Yeah, I like to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Every year we're always
second. What I wanted to do is get all the fees posted for all of the sports, as well as have a master list of sports on the website, so that anybody who wants to register knows how much it's going to cost, when the sign-ups are, all of that stuff. And I know Ann's been working to prepare that.
Okay, my proposal is this. The daily fee is 30 for the borough, 60 for at non-borough residents. Four more days for the season, 175 for borough residents, 250 for non-borough residents. Light at the park, $30 per night for borough residents, $60 per night for non-residents.
What was the four more days you had again?
175.
175 and 250.
And 250.
Field usage fee.
Four more days.
Let's say men's baseball. They're going to have to. They play. I don't know what a 10-game schedule.
Right.
Home game schedule.
All right.
I understand that, but they're going to have the park the baseball field scheduled for more than four home games. That's an additional $175 to pay. I guess it would go into paying the grounds crew for...
He's going to have the verbiage for...
A lack of a better term.
Well, no, instead of, if someone just only needed it for 2 days, they have a daily fee of $30. But if, say, like a baseball team is going to need it for 10 days, their price is $175. If you're going to do it for four more days, instead of...
or a sports clinic.
Right, instead of $300, it's actually only $175, right, Mike? That's
right.
Right. It's almost like you get...
So it wouldn't be more than $175.
Right.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, Dave, I think what you're saying is, did you say $10 for late fee for residents?
No, I said 15.
These are 15.
15 was over
there. Okay, and then $30 for daily fee for residents, $60 for non-resident, $175 for four more days per season for resident, and $250 for non.
Right.
And then $30 per night for lights for resident, and $60 per night for non.
Right.
And that the field usage fees would not be applicable for student-sponsored or borough-sponsored teams?
Borough-sponsored teams.
Okay, I'd like to...
Borough-sponsored programs.
Programs, yes.
I'll amend that.
And
okay.
Okay, we have any other discussion on this? So we're going with Victor's numbers here that are presenting.
And the numbers, yes.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Alvo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Megan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Resolution 219-2010.
I'll move Resolution 219-2010.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this one?
On the back side, line 7. Is that a typographical error, or am I just...
What is it?
This agreement shall be binding upon the inure to the benefit...
No, this is for the freeholders. Placing
open space.
Your fees.
Open
I'm
space,
in the wrong
David.
One. Okay, remember.
I was going to say, I've got nothing on the back of
okay.
my sorry.
I have my glasses.
All in favor?
But I'm sorry. Say something. I was wondering if it might be in our best interest, if it would pass this resolution, that since we did this last year and nothing happened, would it... maybe be in our best interest to have some of the other area mayors and yourself or even council members actually meet with the freeholders in person to discuss this and really, like, stress, you know, especially this year with the 2% cap, you know, this shouldn't get us anywhere last year.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is will have any effect on our cap in the 2% because this is a county
tax. I know,
tax,
but that's true, but still, it's...
I have no problem with getting in contact with the freeholders, whether it be a personal conversation or a letter sent to them,
okay.
or, you know, if that's what you'd like, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah.
As far as getting the other mayors together to try and do it, that might be like trying to herd cats, but,
you know, Mayor,
I think this will be going to the other municipalities.
If we do get something with the freeholders, I would certainly like to open up that conversation about county taxes, for the road improvement. The borough has no county roads at all, and we still pay into that. And I know their argument, because I've already asked, well, you use county roads anyway. But there's got to be a differential type of adjustment there. If we don't have county roads in this municipality,
yeah.
are we still getting the same amount of county tax for that as, say, Washington Township?
If I remember correctly, there is a freeholder, one of the freeholders would be the liaison to Washington Borough. Perhaps we could invite him to a meeting to discuss this.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Do you happen to know who that is off the top
of your head? Robert Chamberlain.
I think it's Chamberlain.
I'm sorry?
I think it's the director, Carter.
Okay.
He's closer.
Well, we'll find that out. And
all right.
We'll see if we can invite one of them to a meeting.
All right, thank you.
Anything else on Resolution 219-2010? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Approval of the shared service agreement between the Borough of Washington and the Business Improvement District for snow removal.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this one?
Number
seven. Okay.
What's that?
This
the agreement?
What this is the bid is going to be paying to the Borough of Washington the same fee as the schools pay for the use of our manpower and trucks to cart the snow from the downtown business district off-site. So that you don't have to climb over 3 feet of snow as you get out of your car and go over the curb. Oh, you like that? Okay. Well, do you use a sled or?
Number seven there.
Thank you. Sorry.
Councilman Higgins, number seven?
Yes. That's supposed to be insured.
I think it's a typo, Rich, can you look at that?
Which insured?
Number seven, the finding upon and.
Finding upon and.
It's French.
Newark, no, that's right.
That's right.
We get paid a little extra for those words.
I have a question.
That's standard language. That's a word. Yeah, in Newark to the benefit.
Wow.
Not in Newark, but in.
Mr. Boyle, your question.
Richard, is there an amount of accumulation before this takes an effect, or is this a phone call from the bid?
A phone call from the
bid. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, my concern is twofold. When we were doing the downtown streetscape, one of the concerns that the road department stated then was that they needed rubber-wheeled machines to remove the snow on the sidewalks.
They will not be doing anything with the snow. Like, in that regard, they're providing the truck service. Someone else will be using the front-end loader type of thing.
This agreement is not to shovel the snow from the front of the businesses to the curb.
Right.
The business owners are responsible for that. What this is to just remove the mounds. Now, I spoke with the DPW, and we've come up with a way that we can use our existing equipment without going on the sidewalk. So all they have to do is scoop it up, dump it, and get it out of there.
And that includes picking up the snow that's on the pavers?
No, just the mounds. Whatever, like
maybe. That's in the roadway.
I'm not sure what you mean.
The mounds of snow that are in the roadway, not on the pavers.
No, 57, you know, the roads we don't touch. We're talking the private property. We're talking the sidewalks.
Right.
Yeah.
So the pavers are there between the curb and the sidewalk.
Between the curb and the sidewalk.
Between
where the trees are.
Where the trees are.
Oh.
On the road
yeah.
side. Correct.
Right. So right. My concern is when the ice is on the pavers and they pick up the ice with the backhoe and the pavers come with it, whose responsibility is it going to be to replace the pavers?
Ultimately, it would be ours. You know, anything we damage, we're responsible for replacing.
And we'll be responsible to purchase those.
Yeah, but
so we're removing them.
Okay. The company that they're using.
No, they're not using a company. This is in lieu of their original concept. This is us removing the snow, period. No outside company.
No outside company.
And we're responsible for purchasing those pavers when they get broken.
Correct. It would be no different than if we damage someone's property. Through our normal routine operations, we're responsible.
Or if we did it on the school's property.
Correct.
If we damaged something, yeah, at the school, we'd have to pay for it.
I'm all for it, but I worry about the liability with it. And the work that has to go into our guys replacing those pavers, taking borough time at that point.
Wait a minute. I have to tell you, I don't like this, because when I was sitting on this and all the talking that was done, there was going to be another company that was going to be removing the snow that had a rubber-based bucket and...
That was the first option. The first option proposed by the Business Improvement District was to have an outside company do all the legwork, if you will, and we provide a man and a truck to dispose of the snow.
Right, yes.
Then it was proposed that the borough just remove it all. That's what this is.
But we're actually getting paid to remove it.
Correct. We're not voluntarily.
Well, I understand that. But then again, we're dealing with the fact that we knew that you should not have something running over those pavers that was not rubber-coated because of very possible damage.
Well, even if it had rubber tires, if there's a piece of equipment that had rubber tires, the bucket that they used to pick it up is still steel. So just because the tires don't damage it doesn't mean the bucket won't when it scoops up the snow.
You just have to be very careful and maybe leave a half an inch still on the ground.
The goal is to remove the mounds so when people park, they can get out of their car.
Right.
Upon completion, the goal is to run up and down the streets in question with a salt truck and throw salt on the area that was removed.
Okay, any other discussion?
All I can say is this is not my understanding.
Yeah, there are a couple iterations that went through there.
Yeah, quite a few.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Valentine?
No.
Mayoni?
Yes.
Leba?
Yes.
Housel?
No.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes. Brings us to Resolution 221-2010, signing a labor lien.
So moved.
Second.
Sorry, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Leba?
Yes.
Housel?
Yes.
Mayoni?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes. Okay, let's do 222, 223, and 224 together.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, these are for redemption of tax sale certificates. Is there any discussion on any of these? Hearing none, a roll call, please.
Council?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
I have to abstain from 223, conflict of interest.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Mayoni?
Yes.
Leba?
Yes.
Okay, that takes us to our vouchers.
Move repair bills.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion on our vouchers?
Yeah, if Rich, on page 15, can you just explain it to me? Eliminating the beginning of your inner funds and...
This was
what trust account is it coming from?
Sure. The account on the right, in the middle, dictates the account that is coming. Eliminating the inner funds was the recommendation as part of the audit. At the end of the year, periodically review and clear out any inner funds as feasible. The ones that are on here, as an example, the one on the bottom, close out special police account, that was an old grant received by the account, by the borough, that's no longer needed. So it's being closed out.
So where's it going? That's what I don't get.
It goes back
in.
Who are
you paying it to?
No one. It gets closed out and it goes back into the account that's owed the money internally. So if current owed sewer, that's where it goes.
Okay.
Any other questions on our vouchers? You're looking at me funny. You have one? No. Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. Roll call, please.
Mayoni?
Yes.
Housel?
Yes.
Leba?
Yes, I'm going to abstain from page 4 to 5. You know, I think
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Anything, abstain on anything that has to do with the fire department. Yes, on everything else.
Housel?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Phillips, recap.
Okay, excuse me, I will inquire as to Councilman Cioni's question on replacing the bulbs in the downtown lights when I meet with the energy assessment company tomorrow. I will verify that should the borough at some point in the future go out to solicit bids for third-party energy distribution, if it will not have an adverse effect on, the energy receipts tax that we receive as the borough. Recreation fees to be amended as approved tonight, and I will get the contact information for the county freeholder who's liaison to the borough in order to schedule a meeting, or presentation, I should say, to council.
So discuss with us the open space tax, or
the road tax.
Okay, council remarks. Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Just want to say, Councilman Cioni, I appreciate the battles that we had this last couple of years. It kind of ticked me off a few times, but they were good. We stand for what we believed in, and we moved forward. Worked very well together, and I appreciate that. Councilman Housel, good luck to you, my friend. You did a good service to the borough, and I'm very happy for you. Very happy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Councilman Higgins.
Likewise. I'm sure we've had some battles. Good luck. Thank you for your service, and I mean that sincerely. Now, police department budget, can we get, can you send that out in your next report from January to December? What the budget was?
If you wait till January 1st, I can give you a more accurate number.
Okay.
And then I can get calendar year.
Okay, good.
How about January 2nd? You won't be here January 1st.
All right, I'll go.
You're not here the second, either.
Yeah, the second Sunday.
No, I'll get it to you on the second, watch.
First week of January.
Along with that, have we gotten anything from the township for a projected budget for next year?
Yes, flat, is what I was told.
That's fantastic.
In fact, my exact question to them was, he originally said 2%. I said, well, what do you mean 2%? I says, well, we're keeping our budget flat than 2%. So I said, how about you reduce the operating by 2% to make it flat? And that's what they said they're going to do. Now, whether or not that's what we receive, I don't know.
When are they going to have that for us? I mean, you know, in writing, that so that we...
They're working on it now, as we speak. Last year they got it to us, I believe it was first week, second week of January,
okay,
for our introduced budget.
Okay. I had an opportunity to go down and check out the DPW garage. The pad is in. It's cold in those bays. A lot of stuff has moved down there, and they seem quite happy with being out of this other place.
And they didn't take the rats with them.
Thank God.
Did they move them down there?
But the question I have with that is the oil separator.
Mm-hmm.
Is that above ground or is that below ground?
Above. It sits in virtually the position that it's in now. I think it just moves to the left a little bit, closer to the discharge pipe.
Can you explain to me how that works?
Through gravity.
Pardon me?
Through gravity. As the oil, as the dirty water, the oil and water come into a holding pit in another bay.
Right.
Then it gets pumped from that bay to the separator, and as it comes in, it separates. Those dividers there separate the oil from the water, and the oil works its way to a separate reservoir. That's when it gets pumped out.
All right, so are we going to have to put pumps in then to pump that up to that, or was that supposed to go into the floor?
No, the clean water just discharges.
I understand
on a monthly
that,
base, the on a monthly basis, or when it gets full, that gets pumped out.
I understand, but that box looks like it's about 4 feet high,
mm-hmm,
maybe a little higher.
You're talking about getting from the pit into the separator.
Yeah.
Oh. There's a pump in the pit in the other room that pumps it to the separator. Now, there's one there.
But how is it going to separate the? I thought that was supposed to be in the wash bay, because of the wash when they wash the trucks.
No, every drain in that building filters to the oil pit, and then it goes from the oil pit to the oil separator. Every drain in that building filters into one spot.
Okay.
The pump is submersible. It's on the bottom of it, so the oil's.
No, no. There's no pump in the oil water separator. The
no,
pump
but there's
is in
pump
the
to
pit.
That.
No, yeah.
It's
going
room to be like a sump pump that comes
kind
up
of,
and goes.
Sort of, correct.
Okay. And Terry brought up a good point about the pavers downtown. I think they've done that for like 2 years down there, taking that stuff off there. The point that I want to make, though, is last year I brought up the sidewalks that are all chipped up. You know, that. Did Andrew have a chance to look at those?
The ones
and
in
talk
front
about when they were going to be
right around the Midtown crosswalk.
Absolutely.
On the other side of the street where the Inkworks is, around that.
I mean,
it's all flexed up. It's been that way for the last 2 years at least.
I mean, the problem lies in that, I think it was the first or second week I started here, when the governing body accepted the project with the current contractor, they accepted the project with no maintenance box. So in the reality of it is as part of the settlement that was agreed upon, I believe it was with Marbeck at the time, was finish the job, get it done, and get out. That's it. I mean, even if a municipality installs sidewalks, it's still the property owner's responsibility to repair or replace them. That's what the ordinance dictates.
Hmm.
I mean, combined with the fact that, you know, when the state runs down there, the salt goes everywhere. I mean, salt destroys concrete.
I think it was a defect in the concrete.
So do
because
I.
There's nowhere else that it's like that. Just.
But I don't think we have a.
No, we have no recourse.
There is no recourse. I mean, not being here when the project
right
started, I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, it's all guesswork.
Okay. Mr. Torres, you have
something for that part?
Yes, basically about the sidewalks, I'm not sure, to protect our, you know, new downtown business, you know, sidewalks in front of businesses, is there any resolution regarding salt coming down with the proper kind of salt rather than regular rock salt, sidewalks?
No, I don't believe we regulate anything like that, do we?
For residents to put down or for the state to put down when they drive through?
No.
You're talking residents and businesses.
Oh, for businesses? Oh, no, there's no restrictions.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No.
Mrs. Gleba?
No, it's not too bad. A couple of questions and to recap some correspondence that I've had. The one handout that was on the table here when we came in, is this kind of like what we can look at as the 2011 budget?
No, that was part of the transitional aid.
Right, but still, these are kind of the numbers that we might be expecting.
Projected. We're still, I mean, that's what we have to send to the state, which is purely, you know, hypothetical based on today. As we get new revenues in through the end of the year, as we do our annual financial and annual debt statement, those numbers will be tightened up. So that's, if you will, a snapshot.
The budget appropriations we're talking about.
Correct, correct. Okay. I mean, it's going to change because we're still receiving revenues that come in. So we're making certain predictions before, in order to get that to the state.
Yeah, I'm thinking more expenditures, not revenues.
No, expenditures are again, council can regulate expenditures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then in my correspondence regarding the weekly report that I sent to you, I guess I'll formalize it now. In question one, did the Historical Society have any idea of the value of the cannon?
They were going to continue the research. When I spoke with her last week, they didn't know. One of their members was more familiar in Civil War armaments, was going to further his research.
And I know they said that they would like to get permission to register with the National Historic Registry, so I'd like to make a motion that we create that resolution to give them that permission.
If that's what council wishes, if you can make a motion to,
in
essence, authorize me to work with them to make it happen. I don't know if they necessarily, the feds need a resolution per se, but I'll know that once we go through the process.
So I'd like to make a motion.
Second, so we make sure it gets done.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
And then my other, you sent the correspondence regarding the state legislation to place the reserve fund collected taxes outside the cap, and I would like us to have a resolution that we could send down to Trenton saying that we are in favor of that. I mean, granted, if everyone approves it, so I'm just asking that be on the next agenda, that we have that sort of resolution, and people can vote as they see fit.
Okay. Anybody have any objections to that?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay.
And then also in my letter, if you, again, you and I talked about this, if you could just clarify in your correspondence regarding the comptroller's findings and then your letter.
Sure.
With regards to question number five, if you could maybe perhaps going forward, and if we could just have it clarified now in case anyone ever, you know, sees that letter or whatever, that maybe going forward, you know, even learning in school, it's always best maybe to restate the question in the answer, and then this way, because, again, we all look at all contracts as all contracts, but there are actually different forms of contracts, and what the comptroller's question was referring to are those contracts that are reviewed that are over $17,500. And maybe if that could just be clarified and so that we all know what contracts we're talking about.
The question that Councilwoman Gleaver is referring to is the state comptroller's office sent a follow-up letter a few months after their last investigation. They got here, the letter came about a week and a half ago. And in essence, just wanted to follow up to make sure we're continuing the process. One of the questions, and I'm just paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, was the question of the attorney's involvement in contract reviews. Now, in the purchasing world, everything you do is a contract. If you have a purchase order for $5, that's considered a contract. That was not what the state comptroller reported on. The state comptroller's office reported specifically on professional service contracts over $17,500. That's that's what my response to the state was. So let me just be clear. The definition of a contract is very different depending on what you're talking about. So
our attorney does not review all contracts, only those that are you give to him that are over the 17.5.
Correct. Every contract over 17.5 has to be approved by this body. As a result of this being approved by this council, the attorney receives the copies of all the backup data associated with it. He and I routinely speak on issues on the agenda, on specifics of the contract, of anything on the agenda, and if there's any issues, we discuss it well in advance of the meeting.
Should that say any contract over 17,000?
Well, their original question, I responded to their original question.
Right. My suggestion to you, though, is going forward, in your response, restate the question so that there's no
misleading.
Well, the question is there. I did restate their question.
It says, question five is, consider requiring the borough attorney to review contracts prior to their execution.
They don't mention 17,000.
But their report does. Their report does. And that's what I answered.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, the expression, just so we cover all.
I mean, when they were here, we discussed it at great length.
Further heading for yourself, so that.
That would be nice. We discussed it at great lengths while they were here, the definition of a contract, and at my I requested, or they denied it, was to define in the very beginning of the report what they're defining as a contract. Because a purchase order for $10 is a contract, but
right.
They didn't.
But in our response, our response should be the contract that we do look at, so that it's not misleading to them reading it that he does review all
it's
contracts.
Like implemented and completed. Still have a hard one with that.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I also had a tour of the DPW garage, and it's quite a sight. Wasn't what I was expecting in the least bit. Very nice building we have. I would also like to thank the two councilmen who are leaving us for all your service and all your work and the research that you've done. And, you know, even tonight, like with the recreation, you know, you've always gone above and beyond. And I wish you well. And hopefully you'll still maybe volunteer and get involved on any committees that we have. And then just to wish everyone a very, you know, joyous holiday season to everyone.
Councilman Valentine.
Yeah. I'd just like to thank Councilman Staley and Councilman Housel for being here and serving. And also being a big help to me, too. And thanking everybody and looking forward to working with the two new council people that come out in January. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. And again, I hope everybody has a great holiday season. See you in January.
I'm going to go before you two gentlemen. I also would like to offer my thanks for your service to the borough. Mr. Housel, you in particular, having served 17 years on this council, you know I'm upset with you that you didn't serve one more, because then I would have been able to nominate you for the League of Municipalities Hall of Fame. You fell just a little bit short.
Oh, boy.
You recommend.
17 years, that deserves a round of applause.
I certainly don't mean to say that to minimize Mr. Cioni's, service here to our borough. I appreciate that to no end. You will be missed, but I'm sure we'll see you around, and we look forward to it. I also would like to take the opportunity to wish all our fellow council members and audience a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and please be safe. It's not necessarily you who's going to be the drunk who makes the accident happen. Watch out for the other one. Do you have a guilty conscience, Mr. Boyle, or something? You're hiding now. Mr. Cioni.
Well, it's been an amazing four-year ride. I came in here, you know, not knowing anything about municipal government, and I'm leaving here knowing probably more than I wanted to know about municipal government. That being said, I wouldn't change anything. The battles, the dialogue, the passion, and I honestly believe everybody up here is passionate about this town and about their fellow council people and the people that work here. I, like I said earlier, I wouldn't change a thing. I think everybody has passion and really cares utmost about the town. The rest of my speech, if you will, is going to be geared towards Terry, because, you know, I wanted to say thank you specifically to Terry. I look at Terry as a mentor. His encyclopedic knowledge of the town over the 17 years he served and all the good things that he's accomplished really is inspirational. And I think he should be looked at as somebody, as a role model for council people. And I'm privileged to be able to say I sat next to him for 4 years.
Thanks, Vince.
Yeah.
Councilman Housen.
Well, the council, it's been a pleasure to serve with you, and Vince, great sitting next to you. That's a little inside joke. A couple times I called Victor Vince at meetings, and he corrected me, sure. I just have a couple things I want to read. So the time has come for me to lead council, a position that I loved and tried to do so well. Over the years, I learned how local government works and sometimes doesn't work because of regulations.
Thank you.
Contract laws, state mandates, and enough reasons to make it sound like a bunch of whereases in a resolution. Over the years, council has been accused of hiding contract talks, backroom deals, and a myriad of other things. But let me reassure you, your town council has, over the last 17 years, done the business they needed to, above board, to get the business of the borough done. Have all the actions made people happy? Of course not. But it's impossible to serve 6,000 plus people and to keep everybody happy. And some people by nature are, well, just miserable people. As a council person, I have had notes placed on my car, nasty notes, had my car egged, been threatened to be shot. Some of you will remember that meeting. Have received phone calls at 3 a.m. during really bad snowstorms from residents about their streets not being plowed and they need to get out by 9 o'clock in the morning, and even have been accused of serving this council to further my own personal agendas. Well, my wife and daughter had a good laugh at this one, because for 26 years we lived in our house on South Prospect Street, and 26 years, every time it rained, we couldn't flush our toilets because the sewer line in the street backed up. This was all due to the infamous inverted siphon at the end of our street, and I.
That's the last time I want to hear that phrase. Inverted siphon.
Inverted siphon. We still have it.
What is that?
We'll go into that later.
That's where stuff flows downhill. And in order to get under a stream, it goes down and it comes back up. But to save from pumping, what it does, it's a siphon, so the pressure down creates a vacuum and it sucks it up the other side.
Adventure.
Here you go.
Excuse me, Mr. Housel. Do you mean you haven't flushed the toilet twice?
Don't come to our house.
I'm sorry.
This brings me to capital projects and why we're in debt. Our sewer plant was built in 1910, with the last major renovation being made in 1964. In the 1980s, new DEP regulations came into effect, and something finally had to be done. The borough was threatened with the $50,000 a day fine for non-compliance with the sewer plant that former councils had put off for decades because they wanted to keep the debt down and the tax rate low. Thanks. Now, later councils ended up redesigning and rebuilding the sewer plant, which was a monumental task for everyone involved. We decided to go with a design, build, and operate plant that would privatize sewer operations. The contract literally is this thick. That's how detailed it is. The drawback, for the first time, the sewer cost was taken out of our tax rate. I was against this move at the time, but looking back now, this was a privatization move that worked out for the borough. Now, the time is coming for a decision on renewing the contract or taking the sewer plant operations over as a borough. With the 2% cap, I'll let you figure that one out. Our other debt, our sewer infrastructure, that is the pipes in the ground, were lined, repaired, or replaced due to major influx of stormwater getting into the sanitary sewer system, and we're still not done. No big deal? Yeah, it is. But when your sewer plant treats stormwater, as we said earlier tonight, your costs go up significantly, as well as the chance of your sewer plant being hit with an influx of water and wiping out the bugs, literal little bugs, that eat up the bacteria that help in the treatment process. Other capital projects have been roads, curbing, and sidewalks being replaced. Repairs to our building, our fire trucks being replaced to keep up with federal regulations to keep the fire insurance low on your homes. We have our fire department has requirements they have to meet as far as pumpers go and all that in order to keep the rates at a certain rate, at a certain level. Yet, other capital projects have been the DPW garage and the downtown streetscape. Some current and former council members know the details that made the DPW garage so astronomical. But let me assure you that individuals involved with this on the professional level at its inception have moved on and are no longer in the employ of Washington Borough. And also steps have been taken in professional contracts through a scope of work contract to limit additional cost unless council approves. However, if you ever had the opportunity to visit the old DPW garage during the cold winter months and enjoy the balmy winter blast that came in around the doors, you appreciate the need for a new garage. That also goes along with the rats that come in and steal your lunch. With the present facility, trucks and equipment can be stored inside, extending the life of the vehicles and the equipment, thus cutting back on future capital expenditures. That's something most people don't think of. The downtown streetscape was needed to entice future businesses to come to the borough. But who knew 6 to 8 years ago that a recession slash depression was going to devastate the economy and businesses would face serious hardships? It was what some have called the perfect storm. But our downtown can come back? And it will, as economic times get better and new businesses move in. We as citizens of Washington Borough need to support the existing businesses as well as the new ones in town. And this is how businesses survive through residential support. Now, many people have complained about the taxes in Washington Borough. Remember, the school tax is well over 50% of our property tax bill. However, the borough portion pays for offices and salary of municipal employees, taxes on the Mill Pond Road property, the DPW that maintains the roads, street signs, catch basins, and plows, salts, and cinders the roads during inclement weather. It also pays for the street lights, sidewalks, two stoplights, police coverage, fire hydrants that, again, help keep your own homeowner's insurance as low as it is. I didn't put fire hydrants in there. That we also pay for the fire hydrants, a yearly rental. Your taxes currently pay for garbage collection, recycling, and vegetative waste pickup. Portion of your taxes also goes to support one of the finest volunteer fire departments and emergency squads in New Jersey. Many of you may not appreciate the work of our borough employees or volunteers, but if you travel New Jersey after a 10-inch snowstorm and compare our streets to that of Phillipsburg or many towns all over the state, you'll get a deeper appreciation for our DPW. Also, watch our volunteer emergency people in action at a call, and you'll get a deeper understanding of their dedication to the community for the hours of drills, planning, and days away from their families in service to you, their neighbors, and people that they don't even know. As for council, don't knock it till you've tried it. If you haven't sat here, you don't know how this government truly works, and the frustration we feel as decisions we make sometimes go awry. It's easy to Monday night quarterback a decision that was made Sunday or 5, 10, or 12 years ago. To the people of Washington Borough, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. To the dedicated staff of the borough, it's been even more of a pleasure to get to know you and work with you over the years. To my wife and daughter, thank you for pushing me forward to do a difficult task of serving on council for this long period of time. Now, bring on that honey-do list. And one more time, to be politically incorrect, Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Counselor. That brings us to a resolution for executive session, which we would do after a five-minute break, I assume.
For the purpose of?
Pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiations.
I'll move that.
Do you have any?
No, not litigation.
Well, it's potential contract negotiation, correct?
Contract negotiations.
Yeah.
Second.
I read the first line, I'm sorry. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.